seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Paul's Epistle of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. And Paul's Epistle of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Paul's Epistle of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's no doubt, beloved friends, that this is one of the most well-known verses in God's holy word, and often preached from and quoted, but in it are the most vital things of the child of God going to need while they journey here through this earth. And the reason I name it as a text this morning was because the Lord seemed to so lay it upon me in thinking of the service today. And may the Holy Spirit apply the text to us, if nothing we may look at. Now he begins the chapter and the verse with this: wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, as the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness, there were two wonderful clouds that compassed them. The first cloud was that cloud the Lord set before them, where his sweet presence was in the cloud. And as the cloud moved, so did the children of Israel have to move. They had to follow that cloud. And in following that cloud, they were to get to the promised land. If they kept their eyes on anything else but the cloud, it brought them into darkness and bondage and trouble. And the Lord hid his face. The second cloud that surrounded them was the glory of God. What a wonderful thing when the glory of God surrounds his people. They were in all things, and may we lay it to heart this morning, in all things to strive for his glory, not for their own, not for our own. So those two blessed clouds compass them about. But here the apostle uses the same illustration concerning those that he has named in the previous chapter, in chapter 11. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. All those that he records in chapter 11 all died in faith. They were a cloud which the real child of God was to follow. It's wonderful mercy if you and I are real followers of his people. We read in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and in chapter 10 he says this, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." And you look through that 11th of Hebrews, how they were all under the cloud of God's everlasting love. They were all under the sweet cloud of his presence. They all had to pass through the sea. And let us just tarry a moment there, because you see, the way to deliverance for the children of Israel was through the Red Sea. There was no going round it. There was no getting over it or getting under it. They all had to pass through it. And in passing through it, they were to prove the wonders God alone could do. Now each one of us may say, well, we're not passing through a sea like they were. There are two seas I would bring before you. First of all, the sea of life. Every one of us here will have to pass through this sea of life. There's no escaping it. And through the sea of life there will be many storms, many tempests, many waves to encounter. They all, in Hebrews 11, had to walk through that sea. But then the second sea that we each will have to go through is the great sea of death. There's no escaping it. Every one of us will have to walk through that sea. And may we be prepared for that hour and that moment, because they that were ready, we read, went into the marriage and the door was shut. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. No others will enter into heaven, only those prepared for it. And you look in the children of Israel's experience, how the things they had to walk through that wilderness, was a way of preparation for Canaan. And the Lord's dear people today have to walk through this wilderness journey here below, and it's a path of preparation. The things you come into, can you see in them that the Lord is preparing you for the celestial city? Oh, you read Pilgrim's Progress and all that Pilgrim had to go through to get to the celestial city. But that's where his heart was, centered in that city. And you know, if you go back through Hebrews 11, all those that are in glory now, they walk through this sea of life, the wilderness journey, and they had to all walk through the sea of death. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And what a wonderful cloud it is, isn't it? When you look back through Hebrews 11, and many of us can look back through those precious souls that we have known in our life that have now entered into the city of heaven. And the long cloud, you see, a hymn writer says, of witnesses. They all came the same way. And the only way they got to heaven was through the precious blood of Jesus and through his glorious work of salvation. It wasn't what they had done. So he says, wherefore, seeing all these, seeing we also are compassed about. And when you think how many in the last few years have been taken from this earth, and what a cloud it has been, isn't it? This cloud of witnesses. And you can look, you see it, a cloud like today, and through much lately we've had many clouds in the earth, haven't we? And those clouds, you see, they pour out the rain. You think of the thousands of tons of rain that have fell upon this land in the last few weeks. But look at it spiritually. This cloud of witnesses, out of that cloud runs some blessed things. You see, the rain descends from the clouds. The rain of God's grace descends through the clouds of those witnesses. You look at the grace that was given to God, the Abraham, and those named in Hebrews 11. And oh, falling from those clouds of witnesses was God's given grace to them. It was so seen, it fell, and may it fall upon us. And then there's the grace of faith. Oh, do you desire, and do I, not to know a little of the faith that they had? Abraham, you see, believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And look at the love that flowed through those precious souls. May it flow down to us. But then they were witnesses. You see, you think of the events of the past few weeks, and many storms have battered our coast. And if you read in the newspapers or hear maybe on the radio, you will hear of those that witnessed some of those storms and some of those waves. And a person that is actually there can witness it because they've seen it with their own eyes. They're witnesses. We hear solemnly, don't we, of those that give false witness because they weren't there. They didn't actually, it was only what they thought or they'd heard second hand. But what I want to come to is this. Paul's speaking of those in Hebrews 11 that died in faith. They were witnesses. And he said, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What they witnessed was this. They witnessed the sovereignty, first of all, of God in how he dealt with them. They were true witnesses. Look at it in your heart and mine. Are we witnesses? Can we speak of his sovereignty, his love, his mercy, his compassion, to our souls, because those in Hebrews 11 could. Well, let me come low. Do we desire to know what they knew, that we might be true witnesses? You think when the dear Lord Jesus was upon this earth and the wonderful miracles that he performed, those dear disciples and the dear women, they were there as witnesses. They experienced, they saw exactly what was done. They could witness it. What sort of witnesses are we? Are we false witnesses or are we real witnesses? You see, the Pharisees on many occasions, they criticised the Saviour and his wondrous work and his deliverances to many, even the raising of the dead. But they weren't true witnesses. But those dear souls, well, let me use an illustration. It comes, so I will name it. You think of Jairus' daughter. There she was, lay dead. The house was full of sorrow. What did Jesus do? He took into that house Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. They were there as witnesses that she was first of all dead, but secondly, they were to witness her rising. Oh, they were. And as soon as he said to her, "Maid, arise," she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And they witnessed the wonders Christ alone could do, and manifested in that dear soul, in Jairus' daughter. Now here he says, of these that have gone before in Hebrews 11, they were witnesses. They could speak honestly from their hearts of the love of God to them. They could speak of the faith that he had given them. They could speak of the grace that he gave them. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And what a mercy it is there is that cloud of witnesses that point the soul to heaven, that so set before the Lord's people of how, like really, it was so seen in dear Naomi, wasn't it? You think, what was it that drew Ruth to Naomi? It was because the Lord was with Naomi, working in her, and Ruth desired the same. How many times, and you dear young people, may it be in your heart, "Lord, give me the religion thou didst give those in Hebrews 11. Because that would be the desire if we are a real child of God. Lord, give us the same blessing. Don't leave us out. They were witnesses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud. It's a great cloud, isn't it? And really, when Paul wrote this, it was a great cloud then. As he looks back right through the Old Testament of that wonderful cloud, look how much greater it is today. You may say, "Well, it's a day of small things." It is, beloved friends. But the cloud of witnesses is greater today than it was when the apostle said it. You think how many have entered into glory since the apostle wrote that to the Hebrews, which is set before us in our text. A number that no man can number. We think back in our early days, you know, in our youth and childhood days, of some of those gracious characters. They were wonderful witnesses to us. You think of all those that passed through this sanctuary. There were pillars in the church of God. Those that have lost their dear ones of late, you see, they look at these cloud, and those that have joined that blessed cloud of witnesses now in heaven, joining in the everlasting song to crown him Lord of all. But then the apostle gives us these and gives the Hebrews these exhortations. And the first exhortation was this: let us lay aside every weight. There are many weights that the child of God has. And you see, the more weights we have, the harder it is to get along in the journey, isn't it? Because he goes on to speak of let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, if you're running a race, you don't want a lot of weights on you, do you? And what does the apostle say here? Let us lay aside every weight. Some of you may have come this morning and you've got very many weights upon you. But what does the apostle say? And it's the Holy Spirit of God speaking. Let us lay aside every weight. We haven't got to take them with us. Lay them aside. And here, this exhortation is so necessary, isn't it? I felt, if nothing today, I preach this to myself. There are many weights upon us, you see. Well, let us look at a few of them. There's the great weight of sin, isn't it? It's not a weight to the ungodly or to those that know not the Lord, but it's a weight to every child of God. I was looking at an old book the other day, and in it there was a picture, like a lot of those old books in our early days and 100 years ago. They used to have wonderful pictures of to illustrate what was written. And we think of Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress. You know that great weight he had upon him of his sin. And the further he went, the weight got heavier and heavier. How could he run the race with this great weight upon him? And there may be those of you this morning got this great weight of sin upon you. Paul says, let us lay aside every weight. And in this picture, you know, was dear Pilgrim, wading along with this great weight on him. And then he comes to the sepulchre, the grave where the Saviour was laid. And it was open. Christ had risen. And as he got to the sepulchre, what happened? The burden just rolled off him into that sepulchre. The weight was removed. And oh, may it be so with you and me. What a mercy it is to the child of God when they've got a place where they can lay aside every weight. And where are they to lay it? Well, not at the feet of any man, but at the feet of the Lord their God. At the feet of Jesus. Let us lay aside every weight. Now I don't know what the weights may be with your heart this morning, but the Lord does. Maybe it's the weight of your sin. Lay it at his feet, poor soul. Let us lay aside every weight. It's a good word, isn't it, really? You know, the trouble is we think, well, we've got to keep taking this with us and that with us. Let us lay aside every weight. And those sins that may be plaguing you and Satan tempting you because of them, oh, may the Lord give us that grace to lay them aside. Every weight. And you know, some of the Lord's dear people have some heavy weights to carry, don't they? We think of the great weight of affliction. Many of the Lord's dear people have heavy weights of affliction in various forms. But what a mercy when we can lay aside that weight. You may still have it, let us be very clear. You may still have it upon you. But there will be times where you can so leave it in the Lord's hand, the burden is lightened, isn't it? And you can go on. Or it may be the Lord gives you a word of encouragement. Well, I think of what I often quote of the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, where he speaks of the thorn in the flesh that he had and the great weight it was to him. And he felt he couldn't carry it any longer and asked the Lord to take it away. But what do we read? The Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And the dear apostle could leave that weight, that thorn that he had in the Lord's hand, and he needed grace to do it, didn't he? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. As I quoted in prayer, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let us lay aside every weight. And it may be the things of providence, things in your life, you know, and many things that take us over, aren't they? It may be just a small thing to men as they look at it, but it takes us over. And all we think about is that which we're in and laid upon us. It distracts our poor mind. But oh, to lay it aside. Leave it with the Lord. What do we read concerning Potiphar? We read that he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Joseph being a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. Let us lay aside every weight. He didn't say some weights, every weight. And why had he got to lay them aside? Well, because they were hindering him in the journey. This is the point, you see. We're clogged down by them when we should be running the race that is set before us. So he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us. Now think of that, let us, not somebody else, let us. May it be a collective word to us each here this morning, let us lay aside every weight. He didn't say some weights, every weight. The small weights, the great weights, the weights that you fear are going to crush you. Every weight. Now, of course, the ungodly have no place to lay aside their weights, have they? They have their weights. We think of many that have got great weights today, but nowhere to go with them. But with the child of God, like those in Hebrews 11... and the dear Apostle Paul, he had somewhere we could lay those weights, and that was in the hands of his God. But then he goes further. You see, he's thinking of this great cloud of witnesses. But then he's thinking of these Hebrews here that he writes to. And how are they going to run the race that is set before them? Well, the first thing was they've got to lay aside every weight. And then secondly, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And the sin that doth so easily beset us. We're so easily beset by sin, aren't we? Because sin is mixed with all we do, with all we think or say. And our very best is stained and dyed with sin, and our all is nothing worth. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, there may be in your poor heart this morning a sin that so easily besets you. Well, what does he say? Let us lay aside every way, and the sin. That's got to be laid aside as well. Of course, he's really speaking of that great sin of unbelief. You see, the sin of unbelief is so opposite to what Paul had been speaking of in Hebrews 11. And what had he been speaking of? Of faith. That wonderful grace. And the opposite of it is unbelief. Doubting. Fearing. It's a besetting sin, isn't it? It kept the children of Israel 40 years in the wilderness, unbelief did. It's very solemn, that is. The sin of unbelief. A besetting sin. Well, of course, there are other, many others. I could name a list of besetting sins that trouble the child of God. Covetousness. Jealousy. Sins that beset. And then the things of this earth. We're soon taken up with them, aren't we, when we should be considering our souls and considering eternity. We're beset by sin. And really, when you look around today, throughout this land and really throughout the earth, how many are carried away with material things that are all perishing. And we're so easy, you see, man is by nature carried away by it. And it's a besetting sin. But here the apostle was exhorting them, they got to leave it all and follow the dear Redeemer. We read, don't we, concerning the dear disciples, the things they had to leave to be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. They had to lay it aside. One thing Jesus said in the house of Martha and Mary, didn't he? But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that greater part, which shall not, that better part, which shall not be taken away from her. Everything else has got to be laid aside. Well, let us bring it right home in its reality. The day's going to come with you and with I, where we shall have to all lay it aside. Oh, we will. And you see, that can change in a moment. I was talking to our dear friend Roy Vance yesterday and the day before, and he said how suddenly that hand of God struck upon Miriam in a moment. Everything changed. And you think about it in your soul and mine. Are we ready for that change? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And what sin easily besets you may not even beset somebody else. But you and I, if we're among the children of God, will know what besetting sins there are. But they've all got to be laid aside if we are to get to heaven. And the sin which does so easily beset us. Notice the wording of it. He didn't say, well, it may beset us. It easily beset us. We've got such an old nature and carnal mind and so much of the earth, aren't we? We're so easily beset. And we're beset by Satan. You know, when we're listening to Satan, instead of listening to the Lord, it's a besetting sin. One of the old preachers said in my early days, he said, friends, you know, we are often, more often listening to Satan than we are listening to the Lord. You may say, well, that's a bold thing to say, but you know, that is true. So often, if we know our own heart, we're listening to our own carnal thoughts. We're listening to what Satan is saying when we should be listening to the Lord. Doing as he said. Now, the apostle, you see, why he spoke like he did here to these Hebrews, because they were very close to his heart and he couldn't bear the thought of them going along and then falling down to perdition. And he exhorts them faithfully how they got to walk before a holy God. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us. Don't forget those two words. Let us. It's all very well say about somebody else. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And then he says this, and let us. Don't do anything to hinder us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, the Lord sets the race before his dear people. Well, just briefly, and I must leave it because the time's gone, but when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he set before them the race to the celestial city, to, as we Christian, it was to the celestial city with the children of Israel, it was to the land of Canaan. And that race was set before them. And once the Lord begins his work with his dear people, he has set before them the race. And their great concern is to be with Christ in heaven at last. But how can they run the race? There are things they've got to lay aside. There are things that beset them. But then he says this, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And in conclusion this, how? Well, he tells us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's how you'll run the race, poor son. And so will I, if we're to obtain the prize. Amen.